In the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 11 through 19, as Jesus passed along the borders of Samaria and Galilee, he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off. They were not allowed to come close. But they cried out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, a Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. With a loud voice glorifying God, he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 who were cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there none found who returned to give glory to God save this stranger?" And he said, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." This is one of the most poignant and one of the saddest scenes of all of the Gospels. In this story, we have humanity in microcosm. The 9 ingrates reveal the constant battle with the common fault of ingratitude. Ingratitude is not an insignificant thing. It is portrayed in Scripture as one of the basest human failings. In a long list of some 21 sins that moved God to give the Gentiles over to a reprobate mind, there is listed, "Neither gave thanks," Romans 1:21. When Paul says that in the last days perilous times shall come, in 1 Timothy 3:1 through 5, part of the frightful picture he paints of humanity is that they were unthankful. Joseph interpreted the butler's dream, which came true. Yet it was years before the butler remembered that Joseph was still stranded in prison. Ingratitude is worse than revenge. Revenge returns evil for evil. The ingrate returns evil for good. David said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, ringing down the corridors of time." Is the question of Jesus, "Where are the 9? What do you have that you did not receive? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father. We are undeserving of the least of God's blessings. How often we misuse what He bestows, and how amazing that to all of this we should add the sin of ingratitude. We often see those we love and try to help, those we spend our time and money on, who return little but a complaining and ungrateful spirit. We know how that hurts. So what of God's children, who do not return to give Him thanks for life and all good things?" Gratitude is a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. It is a warm, appreciative response to kindness. Do you radiate an attitude of gratitude? Showing gratitude is one of the simplest, yet one of the most powerful things we can do for one another. I'd like to discuss a few categories of where our gratitude should be shown. First, in the area of our parents. Shakespeare said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. God thought it was important enough to command, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Honor meaning to consider weightily, not limited to, but certainly inclusive of, expressing gratitude. I have read that it cost over $100,000 to raise a child from birth to mature, productive adulthood. Have you given your parents $100,000 worth of appreciation? If your parents are living, you have an obligation to them. I've stood beside open caskets with the body of a parent inside and seen their children welling up with grief, crying, wishing they'd shown their gratitude while they could. Years ago, I was watching Austin City Limits, and I heard a song sung that has stuck with me ever since. I hesitate to tell you the name because I don't want to give the wrong impression. It was called "My Old Man." And this has sometimes been used as a phrase of disrespect for one's father. But there is no disrespect in this song. So I'd like to cite the lyrics for you, but I don't want you to feel like there's anything disrespectful in the mind of the man who wrote the song. It went like this. "I miss my old man tonight. I wish he was here with me, with his corny jokes and his cheap cigars. He could look you in the eye and sell you a car. That's not an easy thing to do. But no one ever knew a more charming person on this earth than my old man. He was a pilot in the big war, in the U.S. Army Air Corps, in a C-47 with a heavy load full of combat cargo for the Burma Road. And after they dropped the bomb, he came home and married Mom. And not long after that, he was my old man. And all the fights we had, when my brother and I got him mad, he'd get all boiled up and he'd start to shout, and I knew what was coming, so I tuned him out. And now the old man's gone, and I give all I own just to hear what he said when I wasn't listening. To my old man. I miss my old man tonight. I can almost see his face. He was always trying to watch his weight. His heart only made it to 58. And for the first time since he died, late last night I cried. I've been wondering when I was going to do that for my old man." If you have a living father, you have an opportunity and an obligation. David Gates was the lead singer of Bread. One of his most popular songs, many thought was a romantic love song, but it was actually written in a funeral parlor where his father was lying in a casket. It was called "Everything I Own." "You sheltered me from harm. Kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me. Set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you. And I would give anything I own. Give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to love, what it's of, what it's of. You never said too much, but still you showed the way. And I knew from watching you, No one else could ever know that part of me that can't let go. And I would give anything I own. Give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. Is there someone you know? You're loving them so, but taking them all for granted. You may lose them one day. Someone takes them away. And they don't hear the words you long to say. I would give anything I own. Give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. Just to touch you once again. In John 19:26, Jesus sets for us a wonderful example. He expressed his gratitude by making sure that his mother was cared for after he was gone. Last year, for a while, it was my joy to be able to care for my mother in a way that she had never needed before in her life. Obviously, I was never going to be able to repay her for what she had done for me. Didn't even approach it. But it was a joy to do something that she needed. To parents, there are few joys so rewarding as a thankful child. But what about your children? Do you show gratitude to your children? Because like most coins, this one has two sides. Jacob loved one of his children more than the others. And this set up a sibling jealousy where Joseph's brothers hated him. Every child is unique. Every child has his or her specialties and should be appreciated for the good. Do you express appreciation for your children's obedience? Well, they're supposed to obey me, you say. That's true, but an awful lot of children don't obey their parents. Catch a child being good and express appreciation. And what about when they try and fail? I have seen parents just excoriate their children on a little league baseball field, right in front of everybody. And my heart just died. Show your gratitude for the good. Encourage and support positively. Provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. What about gratitude between spouses? One husband was habitually grumpy every morning. When his wife would scramble the eggs, she would find that he wanted them fried. When she fried the eggs, he said he wanted them scrambled. One morning she thought, I'll show him. So she scrambled one egg and fried the other one. She set the plate down in front of him and heard him muttering under his breath. And she said, what can possibly be wrong this morning? When I fry the eggs, you want them scrambled. When I scramble them, you want them fried. So I give you one scrambled and one fried. What's wrong now? And he looked up at her and said, well, you scrambled the wrong egg. That is funny because it's close. It's way too close to the way we can actually be. There was a woman who was getting a divorce. She had just had it. But she didn't want to just divorce her husband. She wanted to hurt him to the maximum possible extent. So she asked her counselor about this, and the counselor said, well, here's what you do. You make him feel like you really love him. Build him up in every way you can. Find everything you can to compliment about him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Show your gratitude to him for all that he does for you. Do this for 1 month. And then when you do leave him, he'll be so completely disoriented that it'll just tear him apart. 3 months later, he saw this woman on the street and asked her, how's the divorce coming along? She said, divorce? That's the furthest thing from my mind. We have a whole new relationship now. Ephesians 5:33. Let every man love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband? Do you radiate an attitude of gratitude that shows your wife you love her as yourself? Thomas Carlyle was a famous writer. He was gruff and abrupt in his daily home life, never expressing appreciation to his wife, and upon her death, he spent his days in constant remorse that he had not expressed his deep love. His wife died with an aching heart, having written in her diary, "Carlyle never praises me. If he says nothing, I have to be content that things are all right." How many hearts tonight are aching for want of thanks? How many marriages are damaged for a lack of a grateful spirit? When was the last time you told your wife how much you appreciate a meal, or clean clothes, or help in church matters, or her companionship? When was the last time you thanked your wife for your sexual relationship with her? And the wife see that she reverence her husband, radiate a deep respect for the good in him. Yelling, nagging, complaining tears a man down. When was the last time you expressed gratitude for the earnings he brings home? Well, he doesn't make enough, but what he makes, he brings home. When was the last time you thanked him for mowing the yard or shoveling the driveway or working on the plumbing? Why is it difficult to get him to do these things? Does he know that if he does one job, he'll just get nagged about another job? Do you have to nag him to mow the yard? What happens when he does mow it? Do you express your appreciation in terms that he can appreciate and understand? Do you support him? An unpleasant marriage is always a place where husband and wife do not feel and do not express gratitude toward one another. What about in the church? Paul expressed gratitude to so many people that I would be at pains to even list them. You know them as well as I do. Phoebe, Onesiphorus, we could go on and on. When was the last time you expressed gratitude to the elders of your congregation? I am appalled by what it takes to be an elder. From a worldly standpoint, a man would have to be crazy to take that job. In most cases, there's no money changing hands, no financial remuneration whatsoever. The possibilities for difficulties are beyond description. There is extra pressure on the wife and family. There is criticism. There is enormous extra demands on his time. His mobility is restricted. His recreation is restricted. The emotional drain can be phenomenal. And it's pretty much a thankless job. There are all kinds of worldly reasons not to be an elder. I can only think of two reasons a man would be an elder. One is that he craves some imagined prestige, and what a letdown he's in for. The only other reason I can think of is that he loves the Lord and he loves the church and he wants to help. Have you recently expressed appreciation to your elders? Well, I don't agree with some of the things they do. Well, I don't either, because I'm not them. That's entirely beside the point. A little appreciation goes a long way. A long way. When was the last time you told an elder's wife, "I know you spend hours alone while your husband is doing this work, and then when he comes home, he may be more stressed than he would otherwise about things he can't even talk with you about. And I want you to know I appreciate your sacrifice and I don't take it for granted." When was the last time? We need to express gratitude to our deacons too. Everybody needs to be appreciated. Most people feel either unappreciated or underappreciated. What about the teachers who teach our children in the classrooms on Sundays and Wednesdays? They miss out on the adult class. When later they hear some of us discussing the auditorium class, they're left out of that shared experience that the rest of us have. We make a tragic mistake by not expressing our gratitude to them. If they get to feeling unappreciated, it may be harder for them to do the children justice. Mark Twain said, "I can live for a month on a good compliment." Those who are visiting here and are benefiting from this meeting ought to feel grateful to this congregation for having it. And I think you do. But I don't think we can say it too often. This is the sixth time that this congregation has had this meeting. As a member of a congregation that's hosted it eight times, I know what it takes. It's just a mammoth job. If you benefit, be grateful and continue to express that. Gratitude spreads like a pleasant contagion. Gratitude is a sweet-smelling lubricant that keeps the machinery of the home, of the church, and of the business running smoothly. Do you thank your employees when they do something good? You should do that because it's right. But when you do that, there are seen and unseen benefits for them and for you. The Samaritan who returned won the respect of the Lord. Too many people are grumbly hateful rather than humbly grateful. Just think of what a woman on the early American frontier had to do on wash day. First, she had to get the water, either pump it out of the ground or go to the spring and pull it out of the ground, carry it to the washing place. She had to build a fire. She had to boil the water. She had to rub the clothes on a washboard. She had to rinse the clothes, spread the clothes out on the grass or hang them on the fence or on the line, pour the rinse water on the garden, scrub the porch with the hot soapy water, turn the tubs upside down, and go on to the next job. Counting her blessings. That was on Monday. Tuesday was ironing day. And so went the week. How grateful are we not to have to do it that way now? How grateful are we not to have to catch horses when we want to go somewhere? Those old people chored for hours before breakfast. They drove a team through the snow to start the fires in the meeting house and sang, "To the Word, to the Word." We show up maybe on time in a heated or air-conditioned car and sing, "Hardly a Comfort Can Afford." If you are not grateful for what you have, what makes you think you'd be happy with more? I read of a nurse in a financially challenged hospital. She was showing a new patient to his room. And she said, "Now we want you to be as comfortable as possible while you're here. So if there's anything you want that we haven't got, just let me know. And I'll show you how to get along without it." When Rudyard Kipling was at the height of his popularity as a writer, he got to the place where he was paid a tremendously high rate per word. Like all successful writers, he was not without his critics. Once a group of students from Oxford University, hearing that Kipling was paid the unheard-of price of 10 shillings per every word he wrote, they wrote to Kipling that they would like to receive, as they put it, "one of your very best words. We want to buy one word. That's all we can afford." And they thought this was a big joke. They enclosed 10 shillings in the envelope to pay for the one good word they were purchasing. They had a good laugh over it and didn't think any more about it. But Kipling received the request and he sent them back the one word they had paid for. "Thanks." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have you thought about why this is commanded? I can only think of one main good reason. And that's because God knows that we need to be this way. And it's quite an art. In everything, give thanks. This teaches us that there is something to be thankful for in everything. Matthew Arnold was one time robbed. His wallet was stolen, but not his view of life. He gave thanks for four reasons. One, that he had never been robbed before. Two, that the robber only took his wallet, not his life. Three, that though the thief took all he had, it wasn't much. And four, that it was he who had been robbed and not he who had robbed. If you have a flat tire, you can be thankful that the other three tires stayed up. And don't think that doesn't make a difference. This mindset is marvelously mending. Gratitude is a state of being. Trade your expectation for appreciation, and the world changes instantly. The miracle of gratitude is that it shifts your perspective enough that it changes the world you see. In everything, give thanks does not mean give thanks for everything. It means find things to give thanks for in every circumstance. And there is always something to be grateful for. The worst thing that has ever happened to my wife and I was having our youngest son, Clint, killed in a car accident 4 years ago. I sent him out to get some welding done, watched him drive away, and never saw him alive again. But even in this, there are things to be grateful for. Glenn and I are grateful that he was killed instantly rather than being a vegetable or in frustrated agony. We're thankful that he didn't have to suffer. We're thankful that no one else was hurt. I met with the man who hit him. He had a tiny bruise just below his knee, and that was all. We're thankful that Clint was a good boy. He didn't know he was leaving. But we didn't find a single thing in his room, in his car, or on his computer that would have compromised him in any way. He loved the Lord and he loved the church. He'd have been right into a meeting like this with both feet. He used to come into my office at night and talk. I saw a pure soul. He was so conscientious and so concerned about people. I told Lynn privately shortly before he died, I know he's going to get discouraged. And when that happens, I hope I can be there for him. But he went out on a high note at 19. And he never had to face so many things that come later in life. We're thankful for that. Of course we wish he hadn't died. We still miss him and hurt over him 100 times every day. But we're grateful that things weren't any worse. And that perspective change really helps. We hope to see him again, and we thank God for that hope. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. Gratitude turns what we have into enough, and more than enough. Gratitude turns denial into acceptance. Gratitude turns chaos into order. Gratitude turns confusion into clarity. Let gratitude be the pillow on which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. The Lord taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. Matthew 6:13. We thank God for the care that did not come to try us. Thank God for the burden we did not have to bear. Thank God for the trouble that passed us by. Thank God for the task we did not fail to do, for the hurt we did not have to endure, for the friend who did not prove untrue, and for the joy that did not perish. If we only knew God's methods and the unknown evils from which He delivers us day by day, with what sincere and heartfelt thanks we would approach the throne of grace. Only when life is over and we stand to meet our Maker will we know the dangers and foes from which He delivered us. For that all-wise protection, we must begin and end every day with grateful thanks. The real art of thanksgiving is thanks living. Thanksgiving is not just a day on the calendar. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It is thanking God for your talents by accepting them as obligations to be invested for good. It is thanking God for all that others have done for you by doing for others. It's thanking God for opportunities by accepting them as challenges for achievement. It's thanking God for happiness by trying to make others happy. It's thanking God for beauty by making the world more beautiful. It's thanking God for inspiration by being an inspiration. It's thanking God for each new day by living it in triumphant faith. It's adding to your prayers of thanksgiving acts of thanks living. With all God does and has done for us, and with all His promises for the future, how little He asked in return. How little He asks. What do you owe God, you ask? Suppose He sent His bill, $100,000 for the sun upon the hill, $2,000 for the little brook that runs along the way, $500 for the nighttime, $1,000 for the day, $600 for the little birds that chirp and trill and sing, $600 for the little flowers that tell us when it's spring. These are bills which everyone of every clime forget. If God should charge you what you owe, you'd never pay the debt. One of the saddest things I've read in recent months was written by an agnostic, Dr. Bart Ehrman. These words were found in his book on suffering. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "The problem is this. I have such a fantastic life that I feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude for it. I am fortunate beyond words, but I don't have anyone to express my gratitude to. This is a void deep inside me. A void of wanting someone to thank, and I don't see any plausible way of filling it." That's just incredibly sad. By ignoring the existence of God, he is denying himself the opportunity to be a fulfilled human being. What about you? Are you grateful to the Creator of the universe for letting you be a part of it? Do you express your gratitude to Him? Are you grateful enough to obey Him? Do you love Him enough to obey Him? He has given you this now, right now. He has said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Hearken to the voice of the Lord and turn not your face away from Him. In your faith and repentance, we ask tonight that if this is your time, come in gratitude to your Lord Jesus. Confess Him and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, as others have already done. Come and let us know what your decision is as we stand together and sing the invitation number.